Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, just a bit outside. A little late. The New York Times is just a little bit late here. KJJR Radio in Kalispell, Montana, about 12 minutes ago, just shared a great post on X. The New York Times is 4 to 5 years behind talk radio. Yeah, right. Talk radio. Montana talk radio, especially during all the coronavirus shenanigans. Boy, I tell you what, thanks to your phone calls and the stuff we were exposing as well, we were calling out all this COVID-19 BS, the lockdowns, the mandates, and more. Clay Travis with the Clay and Buck show that comes on some of the radio stations that we're on after Montana Talks. Clay Travis shared this 5 years after labeling anyone who said COVID came from a Chinese lab a racist conspiracy theorist. The New York Times now says, quote, "We were badly misled about the event that changed our lives. And COVID almost certainly came from a Chinese lab." I remember we were saying that at the time. My goodness. Yep. Yeah, the New York Times saying we were badly misled. Oh, no. You were doing the misleading. You weren't badly misled. You were badly misleading the American people. And we all know that you were doing it deliberately. Anyway, seeing that post on X, it got me thinking, man, I need to go back and see if it is still out there. Because it wasn't just the New York Times. We had we had our own Freezer Morgue Media here in Montana. The Freezer Morgue Media. Remember, they were cheerleading every one of those lockdowns. They were cheerleading all of the mask mandates. They were lecturing you if you dared criticize or question some of those lockdowns and mask mandates. But by golly, you could have been a Democrat lieutenant governor and a Democrat candidate for governor like Mike Cooney. And you could post completely fake news about a freezer morgue operating outside of the hospital in Helena. And the media would run with the story. And they did run with this story. And it was fake news. It wasn't even a freezer morgue. It was a mobile MRI truck. Man, after seeing that KJJR radio tweet, I thought, I'm going to go see if Mike Cooney's tweet is still up. And yep. There it is. Oh, man. This was from September 21st, 2021, just about 4 years ago. Talk radio had it right. The New York Times is now trying to pretend they were misled when they were the ones doing the misleading. We've got the phone lines open for you on this Monday, 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about. And we should be getting at least one of our state lawmakers calling in as well.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I've got a lot to talk about, but I'll bet you got something you want to talk about too. So let's start with your phone calls here, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Let's go first to Kevin in Billings, listening to KBUL. Kevin, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Aaron, it's been a while since I've called.
It has.
Just real quick, I've got a podcast, Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone. I don't know if you've heard it, but I know you've heard it, but not. I don't know if you've heard it lately, but I want to talk about COVID and AI. I live in an assisted living place here in Billings, and it was locked down, and I felt like I was in solitary confinement. And even back then, I thought the lockdowns were highly unnecessary. And it was just a way for the government to control things. Now, had they locked down nursing homes, let's say, for 4 or 5 weeks, and then let everything back up, let the herd immunity go through, great. I would be okay with that because it's an elderly population. But I also want to talk about artificial intelligence. Have you done a lot of shows on AI? It's been a while since I've heard.
You know, we've I've talked a little bit about AI, and I've been playing around with AI a little bit. Like Grok is Elon Musk's AI platform embedded inside X, and then of course you have ChatGPT. Early on, I mean, ChatGPT especially had a horrible left-wing bias, and then Google came out with their own AI. And remember the Google version, if you were saying, let's say you would ask the Google AI platform, show me a picture of America's founding fathers, and none of them were white. It was like they'd have like a black George Washington with a white wig on, and you're like, oh my goodness, what in the world? So their artificial intelligence was not that intelligent. It was just woke left-wing nonsense. What's most interesting to you about this AI development?
Well, I've been playing around with Grok and the ChatGPT, and the ChatGPT is really good at telling me whatever happened to certain people that I knew in high school. Now, it's not going to tell me everything. A lot of it's going to depend on public records or whatever, but Grok is better, though, at telling me about things like how an antenna works or the future of terrestrial radio or whatever. You know, maybe the future of Sirius XM satellite radio, but it really depends on the application. Now, there's also another one called DeepSeek that Mike Adams has created, and I'm not sure how exactly that works. But one thing that kind of concerns me about AI is these implants that people are making. Apparently, you can put an implant in somebody, and it'll make somebody see or, you know, make them walk again. But my fear is, how far are we going to go with this? What if this implant tracks you down everywhere you go, and then
yes,
you have to worry about the social credit score? I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but
especially when you've got a cell phone. Yeah, especially when you've got a cell phone that already does just that and tracks your every movement and listens in on what you say and then shows you ads that pertain to something you were just talking about. Well, yeah, interesting to hear your perspective on that, especially as somebody I know you've told us before. You're blind yourself, and so, you know, maybe a tool like that could help you, but you're also worried about what these cool tools could do to harm people. Yeah, no, I found Grok very helpful for as a consumer of news and information. I prefer Grok over ChatGPT. What I like about the Grok AI platform is, let's say you have a question about a bill in the Montana legislature. Hey, tell me about House Bill 90 or Senate Bill 90. And it will give you its little summary, but then it will also show you the sources with the links to the sources. So like one news story or one question, they would show not only 8 different news stories with the links, so you can go click the link to verify, right? But they would also have 7 or 8 different posts on X that you could use. And it might be something from somebody in Montana, right? And so that's what I like about that platform. All right, Kevin, great to hear from you. Let's go to our next caller on the phone lines. We've got Ken in the Billings Heights. Ken, what's going on?
Well, you know, thanks for talking to me this morning. You know, I'm trying to put this in my mind. How are these judges going against the federal government to stop these taking out of these bad people, these aliens or in Guadalupe, whatever the heck his name is, or anything else? What do they want? Do they want these people still in the state so they can go and maim, kill, rape, and murder people? Don't you think that the people, after a while, are just going to take it upon themselves? And if they can't have the federal government take these people out, what do they do? Go back to the vigilantes and stuff there? I mean,
that's a good question.
I mean, you know, this is Montana. I mean, you know, with these in Guagua or wherever, you know, where these people are, I give the commission to the farmers and ranchers to do the same thing like they do with, oh, shoot, shut up and shovel.
So, well, that was what we want to encourage, you know, taking the law into your own hands. But that's what these judges are doing. I mean, this judge went outside of the bounds of the law to try to push his personal agenda. Now, we've seen that time and time again. But to Ken's phone call here, what does this judge want to happen at the end of the day? For those of you that haven't heard about this story yet here, the New York Post had a story over the weekend. Federal judge orders deportation flights carrying alleged Venezuelan gangbangers to return to the U.S. after Trump invokes the Alien Enemies Act. So why would this judge say, no, I want those illegal aliens, the murderers, the rapists, the gangbangers, I want them back into America? Why would a federal judge say that? Why would he do that? I'll give you my answer next.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So this federal judge that Ken in the Heights was referring to, he was appointed by Obama. So he's an Obama judge appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. This is the judge who over the weekend, there's a plane load of hardcore criminal illegal aliens flying to El Salvador. And the judge says, no, turn that plane around. The plane's already in international airspace. This judge has zero authority to order that plane to turn around. But here's this judge throwing this temper tantrum. Oopsie, too late, was the tweet from El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele. And then his government then released this incredible video. It was so well produced. The music, the footage of the criminal illegal aliens being walked in handcuffs to the buses to take them to their Salvadorian prison. It was just incredible. It was like they had the professional social media team from the PBR, you know, with the music and the production. They put this video together showing these criminal illegal aliens from the U.S. being put behind bars in El Salvador. So Ken asked a really good question. Why would this judge order that flight to return back to the United States of America? First, Sean Davis, who is the CEO of The Federalist, thefederalist.com, he said this regarding this particular judge. Forget impeachment. Charge him with providing aid and comfort to foreign terrorists against the United States, because that's what President Trump has declared. The Tren de Aragua Venezuelan prison gang illegal aliens are part of a foreign terrorist organization. And we've had Tren de Aragua gangbangers arrested here in Montana. So why would the judge want them brought back here? I mean, this is the same judge who will throw the book at American citizens for nonviolent crimes, but yet he wants to bring murderers and rapists that aren't even citizens of the United States of America back to America. I think that what this judge is doing, which is part of this, it's a coordinated strategy by Democrat attorneys general across the country and by the other left-wing groups. They're filing case after case after case and circuit after circuit after circuit. What they are trying to do is just like they allowed and enabled this illegal alien invasion to take place in the first place, they also want to do everything they can to keep the illegal aliens here. So why would a judge even go so far as to say, bring the murderers and the rapists back. No, they're not even citizens. Bring them back. It's because they are doing everything they can to slow down our government from securing our country, because they figure, well, if they can even halt a plane load of murderers and rapists from being deported, then they can stop the millions of other criminal illegal aliens that are in this country from being deported too. So that's exactly what they're trying to do. They allowed this treasonous invasion to take place on our southern border, and now they are doing everything they can to keep them here, even if it means trying to force a plane load of rapists and murderers to come back to the United States of America. Another topic I want to get to here regarding the Montana legislature, the Gallatin County Republicans and apparently the Missoula County Republicans have now censured two of the Republican state senators, part of the nine Republican state senators that have been voting with the Democrats. The Gallatin County Republicans have censured one of their state senators out of the Gallatin Valley. So have the Missoula County Republicans as well. I'll tell you about that story here in just a second. But first, when it comes to the illegal alien invasion of our country, Mexican drug cartel operatives, Tren de Aragua gangbangers, MS-13, you name it. There's a related story down in Mexico. Have you guys heard about this cartel death camp that's been found? So apparently down in Mexico, they have a mass grave site where a suspected Mexican drug cartel had basically thrown all of their bodies. Now, I've been told Stacy Zinn, who is the former head of the DEA here in Montana, she said this is a story to watch. This is a story to follow because the drug cartel involved in this mass killing site down in Mexico is the same drug cartel that was operating on the Crow Reservation here in Montana.
An investigation is underway in Mexico after last week's grisly discovery at a ranch in the western state of Jalisco, what officials believe could be an extermination site where cartels carried out mass killings. So far, investigators report finding bone fragments, children's toys, hundreds of pairs of shoes, and three human cremation ovens. One body was found wrapped in plastic. It's believed that the property was being used as a training base for the cartel. 10 people have been arrested so far, and two hostages found at the property have been released. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Yeah, now, and again, the cartel that they believe was operating this mass killing site is the cartel that was operating on the Crow Reservation here in Montana. Now, this is my question. This is my follow-up question. We know that the Mexican drug cartels invaded this country and then were deliberately targeting Native Americans. What's been a major topic of concern here in Montana and all across the West? Missing and murdered indigenous persons. I wonder, I certainly hope that they're going to be doing as much DNA testing as they possibly can on this location. Now, hopefully the missing and murdered persons can one day be found and are still alive. But I also wonder if they might find evidence tying these drug cartels specifically to some of the missing and murdered indigenous persons cases as well. Obviously, we'd rather hope and pray that the missing are found alive. But given the fact that the cartels have been targeting Indian country, it's a question that many of us certainly have. All right, let's see. We got a message from JW in Helena on our Montana Talks app. An earlier caller was asking about AI platforms and mentioned DeepSeek and not knowing too much about DeepSeek. JW in Helena says the AI platform DeepSeek is a Chinese-owned platform used to collect your data. JW, thanks for that message. Back into the phone lines we go. We've got Tom in Lockwood. Tom, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I was thinking about that judge over there that said to bring all them killers back. Maybe he should have them in his backyard and have to take care of them and not have his bodyguards taking care of him. Let him be out there and be one of them. Let him find out what he's making everybody else face.
Yeah, we see that with these liberal judges, don't we? They don't want you to have gun rights, but they have people with guns protecting them.
Right. They don't want you to have it, but they've got it. They've got protection. And they've got the police and everybody else protecting them, saying that they're okay, you know. And I think these guys that want these criminals here, they better step up and take care of them. I know a good place that they could all go, and they could be taken care of there. And you know it, too.
You're probably thinking of a farm in Big Sandy, aren't you?
No. I'm thinking of a facility in Valley County.
Oh, or are you thinking of Bighorn County? Are you thinking of the Hardin Detention?
No. I'm thinking of a place that's got all kinds of housing. They've got barracks. They've got a hospital.
Ah.
And all you got to do is, it's been 20 years since anybody's been in some of that. Some of them are in pretty ragged shape.
You're talking about the old St. Marie Air Force Base north of Glasgow, Montana.
You got it.
Yeah, it's it's interesting. Actually, I was just talking. I had a cousin in town last week, and we were talking about that. And because I had thrown out the idea, because I was saying, man, I really wish we could use that old St. Marie Air Base. And really, so last week, I think I mentioned it here on our statewide show. But, you know, President Trump, since he took office, has secured a pile of investments into America. Apple with a $500 billion investment, creating 20,000 new U.S.-based jobs. A $500 billion private investment in artificial intelligence infrastructure. TSMC announcing an unprecedented $100 billion investment in the U.S. for semiconductor chip manufacturing here in the U.S. And there's like three pages of these big business investment announcements that were made, right? And so I had kind of thrown it out to my cousin. I said, man, it'd be really great if we could just get one of these companies to do a major investment for some, you know, some good jobs and use that facility there, the old air base at St. Marie. It would take a lot of work to upgrade all the roads and everything like that and a lot of the housing. But actually, since COVID-19 in particular, a lot more people have been living up there. And the old Air Force Base housing and things like that, too. So it's a, boy, that's a unique place to drive through. If you've never done that, it's pretty wild to drive through the old St. Marie Air Force Base. 20-plus years ago, I think we went bowling there one summer on the little, I think it's only, a two-lane bowling alley or something like that. And that was interesting to see. All right. Hey, thanks for the phone call. We've got the phone lines open for you right now. If you call in right now, we should be able to sneak you on. Normally, the phone lines are filled up, but we've got some phone lines open for you right now. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. We'll talk about the Gallatin and Missoula County Republicans censuring Republican state senators right after this.
This is where Montana Talks app with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump has threatened more retaliatory tariffs on the European Union, proposing a 200% levy on all EU champagnes, wines, and spirits sent to the U.S. in response to the EU's retaliatory tariffs of 50% on U.S. spirits. President Trump said on Truth Social that he would put the tariff in place unless the EU removed the tariffs it imposed on U.S. spirits this past Wednesday. He called the tariff on bourbon nasty and said that this 200% levy will be great for the wine and champagne businesses in the U.S. The retaliatory tariffs in the EU announced would go into effect in April and impact about $28 billion of U.S. goods, including spirits. The EU made the announcement, which in effect peels back decisions from the 2018 and 2020 to continue to suspend tariffs on these goods from the U.S. after President Trump announced a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum products earlier last week. And as the H5N1 strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza continues to spread in U.S. dairy herds, California has experienced the most significant impact. As a result, the state is banning all dairy and poultry exhibitions at fairs until risk subsides. California officials say the restriction will remain until cases decline and the risk diminishes. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Real quick here before we jump right back into it, this Thursday is when the KATQ Radio Farm Expo is up and running in Plentywood, Montana. I was there last year. We're going to be back again this year. So we'll be broadcasting live from the Farm Expo in Plentywood this Thursday. If you want to join me on the show, or if you've got somebody who you think would make a great guest for the show in Plentywood on Thursday, shoot us an email, aaron@montanatalks.com, or message me on the Montana Talks app. We've already got a great lineup in the works right now, but message me if you or somebody you know would be great for the show, or heck, you can always just show up and come down and see us at the Farm Expo as well. And any of our listeners, come on down. We'd love to see you, even if you just want to hang out and enjoy a cup of coffee while we do our show as the Farm Expo kicks off. But yeah, we've already got, we've got the Pulse Crop folks are going to be there. I was chatting with Paul Canning over the weekend. Maggie Johnson with Montana Branded is going to pop in. The Montana Grain Growers Association has a couple of their experts that are going to be doing presentations at the Farm Expo. So they're going to come by and see us. And so, yeah, so we've already got a great lineup in the works for Thursday's Montana Talks live from Plentywood. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Let me get this story out here, and then we'll go to Skip and Hamilton on the phone lines. I got a press release over the weekend from Marla Davis, who is the chair of the Gallatin County Republicans. You guys have been hearing how in the Montana legislature, in the state Senate in particularly, there's been 9 Republican state senators who've been voting with the Democrats on the rules and on committee assignments and things like that, and have been kind of voting against their elected Republican caucus leadership. And, of course, that's drawn criticism from Republicans across the state. The state GOP even called out those 9 Republicans for voting with the Democrats. Well, now a formal censure resolution has passed in both the Gallatin County Republicans and the Missoula County Republicans, according to the Western Montana News website. First, here's the press release I got from the Gallatin County Republicans chair, Marla Davis. She says, "I wanted to advise you that the Gallatin County Central Committee is issuing a release of our resolution for rebuke and censure of State Senator Shelley Vance. After Senator Vance's initial votes that contributed to causing a power shift, the Central Committee voted to form a subcommittee to follow and investigate the details of the situation, discuss her actions and votes directly with her, and continue to follow her record as she requested. Unfortunately, things have not improved, but in fact have worsened by our standards." And so Marla Davis writes that the subcommittee, the executive board, and the central committee have overwhelmingly responded and voted unanimously to move forward with the resolution at this time. "The central committee believes she is no longer representing our core conservative values, and personal politics are affecting Senate legislative outcomes." Marla Davis added, quote, "We have been saddened to see her go down this path, and it is with regret that the situation demands our rebuke." And then according to this story at Western Montana News by Roy McKenzie, the Missoula County Republican Central Committee has also censured State Senator Denley Logie, expressing frustration that he undermined the Republican Senate majority and prioritized personal and political considerations over conservative governance. So that's one of the big stories as the Montana legislature gets back in session here later this morning. All right, next up on the phone lines, we've got Skip in Hamilton. Skip, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, thank you for also going over all of those things having to do with censure and the two different central committees. I do believe, and it's not going to get handled on the program today, but I believe there's two sides to that coin, and both of them need to be aired equally. But meanwhile, I wanted to bring up something that I heard on your commercial break, and it was by the different power companies that advertise, and they want everybody to call in about this 490 bill, which I would suggest basically gives the power companies a get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to liabilities if their equipment starts to fire. And I'd like to see that, some deep dive into that, and I'm just make a suggestion to have somebody like, because I'm concerned about insurance problems after the fact, with insurance companies either dropping people who are in sensitive areas, you know, based on fire probabilities, things like that. I'd like to see that deep dive into in case you'd like to ask somebody like Jim Brown about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jim would be great. Yeah. So just...
I just thought I'd bring it up there, that's all.
Yeah,
okay?
just to clarify, in case I might have heard you wrong there, but just to clarify, so House Bill 490, what the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, and of course they're a sponsor of this show, what they're seeking, they're simply saying, hey, if we are not at fault for the fire, we shouldn't be the ones blamed. We shouldn't have to bear the financial burden of that fire. We shouldn't have to have the liability for a fire that we didn't, that we weren't responsible for. So they're not saying, hey, if we're liable for a fire, we don't want to held liable for it. No, that's not what they're saying. Because there's been some concerns here where, let's say, for example, a utility company may go to the federal government and say, hey, we want to cut these trees down so that we don't have a fire risk here. And the federal government says, no, we're not going to let you cut those trees down. And then a fire breaks out, and the federal government tries to blame the utility. And that's what they're trying to prevent, is a situation like that from jeopardizing their wildfire insurance.
I'd like it all explained, because if it does pass, is there going to be an insurance, another bridge to an insurance crisis? But my guess is this all of this kind of bills that come up are based on things that happened in the California situation with wildfire, and everybody's trying to protect themselves.
Yeah. So, but again, in that situation, and that's a good question that you throw out there, but in that situation, that's a reminder that it was California. It was the California government that created the crisis. California basically wanted to go out and start it. They passed laws to punish insurance companies. And so insurance companies said, well, I guess we're just going to not do business in California again. And then California said, hey, we're going to blame power companies for starting these fires, which makes the insurance harder to get, which makes your electricity more expensive, even though we, the state of California, told them that they couldn't cut down these trees, or they couldn't do this, or they couldn't do that. So this actually would do the opposite of what California has done. This would protect us here in Montana from having these Californication problems with electrification. That just kind of worked out with that play on words there, Californication with the de-electrification. But yeah, no, great questions though, Skip. Thanks for calling in. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. By the way, speaking of Californication, I put a story on our Montana Talks website last night. I don't know if you guys saw it yet, but the billboard is back up. There's a billboard that is back up in Bozeman. I still need a listener to get a photo of where it's actually located at. I've got a photo of the billboard, but I forgot to ask Derek Aspinwall with Aspinwall Mountainware where it's at. But the billboard simply says this. It's a black billboard with white letters, and it says, "Make Bozeman, Montana again." That's the billboard. It's back. They first put up the billboard, I think, back in 2022, and it triggered hipsters everywhere. Somebody commented, I shared that that the photo of the Make Bozeman, Montana Again billboard on Facebook, and somebody said, you know, I think the only people that are complaining about the Make Bozeman, Montana Again sign, everybody else loves it, even the people that grew up in Bozeman and went to college there, they all love the Make Bozeman, Montana Again billboard, but the people that are complaining are probably from California, is what one commenter said. I'll have to check and see what some of the other comments were on that one, because, man, we just got some funny reactions to the Make Bozeman, Montana Again billboard. But, yeah, Aspinwall Mountainware put up the billboard once again, and I think they're gonna do some crowdfunding to try to keep it up. So if anybody wants to donate to the cause, get a hold of the crew at Aspinwall Mountainware to keep it up and running. But, you know, back in 2022, when they first put the billboard up, they really said they wanted to get the question out there. How do we keep Montana, Montana? And that's what this Make Bozeman, Montana Again billboard is all about. All right, quick break. We'll get to your phone calls after this. 294-0970.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that's got to be the one. It's got to be on Jackrabbit Lane. Or maybe they have two of them up now. See, I got to follow up with Derek Aspinwall and see if they've got more than one Make Bozeman, Montana Again sign. But I just got an email from Eric in Belgrade. He said there's a billboard on Jackrabbit Lane in Belgrade. So that's got to be the one. Or maybe there's two now. And then Mary in Bozeman called in and just left a message. The Bozeman sign is on Jackrabbit Lane between Four Corners and Belgrade. So there we go. That's got to be the one, or maybe there's two now. Or maybe you can crowdfund for three or four. Maybe they should do some local radio ads as well. The Make Bozeman, Montana Again radio ads would be pretty good too. All right. That's got to give you a good chuckle while you're stuck in traffic. In places where you didn't used to have traffic before. All right, Joy calling in now from Four Corners. Joy, yeah, it sounds like Jackrabbit Lane is where the Make Bozeman, Montana sign is at.
Yeah, I was missing it until I saw it. I said, that is fantastic. Yeah, I saw it on Jackrabbit. I think it may even be Belgrade. I don't know.
Yeah, they said Belgrade. Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's more than one. So when did you first see it? Did you hear about it first and then see it, or did you see it first?
No, I saw it on Saturday.
What was your reaction?
Oh, hey, actually, I take that back. I saw it Friday because I was out looking for baby chicks. My reaction was, wow, it's back. That's fantastic.
That's what's funny about it is, like, you would assume, like, oh, man, why would a business do this? They're offending everybody in Bozeman. It's like, no, actually, the people that are new to Bozeman might be offended, but the people who grew up there and went to college there and raised their kids there are like, yes, please make it Bozeman, make it Montana again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that the new people here that really want to be here for what Bozeman has to offer would be offended by it. I mean, I think they want it to be Montana, too. There's just way too much crap going on now.
Yeah, well, and I think there's a difference, too. It's kind of like the people who moved into Bozeman pre-COVID-19, like, you know, between 2012 and 2020 is a different crowd than the people who moved in after 2020. Do you get that sense as well?
I do. You know, it's interesting, though, that I saw Senator Daines on TV this morning talking about the 6-10 Nicaragua that they took out of Bozeman, Montana, was on that flight.
Mm-hmm.
That got or was supposed to get turned around, but it didn't, thankfully. Yeah. He was on there talking about it this morning. We don't need that here in Montana.
Yeah, it was at a apartment complex outside of Belgrade where they arrested those Trende Aragua alleged operatives and gangbangers. And so what do you think about this liberal judge saying, no, bring them back. Bring back the murderers and the rapists. They're not American citizens, but he wanted to bring them back to America.
Well, to be honest, I think it's ridiculous, and he should be... he should be tried for it himself. That's stupid. I mean, really? Take him into your backyard, buddy. That's what I say.
Or maybe we trade him out. We say, okay, you get to go to El Salvador, and we'll put one of those guys in an American prison, but you're out of here, buddy. Send the judge out to another country.
It's just silly. I mean, and I know, they put all these judges in there to do just this for Trump. No, it's ridiculous. But it is what it is. President Trump will take care of it, and I think Marco Rubio is going to be key point on this.
He did an incredible job. He was on one of the Sunday shows yesterday, and man, I loved it. He asked the reporter, the news anchor, he was like, do you even watch the, it was Margaret Brennan on CBS. He's like, do you even watch the news?
No, they don't. They just pew
bull pony. Well said. All right, Joy, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. That was fun. I appreciate it. There was video here of Marco Rubio on Face the Nation. So you guys know who Mahmoud Khalil, right? Mahmoud Khalil is not a citizen of the United States of America. He is the guy who has been organizing these blockades, harassing and intimidating Jewish students on our college campuses. He's not even an American citizen. He is a member of an organization that is dedicated to the eradication of Western civilization. But the Democrats want to keep him here. They're rallying around him, just like the judge is rallying to keep the murderers and the rapists here in America. Anyway, so Margaret Brennan was basically trying to question Marco Rubio on why this guy, should be able to stay here and why they can't, take away his visa, his privilege to be an American. And Marco Rubio basically says, you should watch the news. Anyway, that was a great highlight there. All right, we're out of time for today. Tomorrow, we'll have more time to take your phone calls here on Montana Talks. Wednesday, who knows? But Thursday, we're going to be in Plentywood for the KATQ Farm Expo that kicks off Thursday morning, goes through Friday. Keep it.